You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations. And with David is our sponsor, Jeremy Finn from Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
You well, Sue?
I'm well, I'm well.
You well, Mr. Finn?
Yeah, doing well.
Cool. Welcome back, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you. Sorry, I'm still not sick because my voice is from screaming for Trickers and the rugby, so it was a good weekend.
Did you actually get up to watch it?
No, I got record mode, so I recorded it.
Oh.
A bit early for my liking.
Although they said 4 o'clock and they only came on at half past 6.
Yeah, yeah, 4 a.m. was the start of the main card, yes, so yes. It would have only been 6:30 for 7. Yes. But I know there were, I got a friend who runs a gym in Goliath Gym, and I know there were guys there by like 3:30 a.m. watching, so hats off to them. But no, I record it, and then I watch it as I wake up. I find that I enjoy the fighting, but I find that if it's live, the gap between the fights is so immense. You know, yeah. It gets a bit.
It's a build up.
Yeah.
It's a build up.
All the build down.
Were you also standing up and going and, you know, were you also kind of hitting yourself and.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then obviously the Springboks go, boys, and I was just hoping Argentina took down New Zealand again, but unfortunately that wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. No, the Argentina.
Would have been nice, eh?
Yeah, the New Zealand, I think they got quite a wake up call.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. Threatened for axing, you know, I think that's how it goes. But anyway, Mr. Finn, unfortunately you're not here 2 weeks ago, so I believe we're going to carry on with hard landscaping.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good idea.
Just keep going and finish the topics off.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what we talked about the last time. We talked about some drainage because of all the water that we've been having.
Yeah, no, drainage and definitely an important thing this year. And then I think we were just talking about sort of paving and not fighting bad areas, you know.
Yes.
As I said to you now off air, I've been trying to get lawn, roll on lawn, and all my suppliers are telling me there's no grass available because it's too cold and two of the fields are underwater. So, yeah, drainage would be a good thing because you'd think they would have it so they could grow and sell grass.
But yeah, I think they weren't expecting.
No, it's been heavy. I was reading about our wheat farmers as well. I think they're in a bit of dire need at the moment for the sun, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it causes million rand worth of damage for product.
I think I was talking about how we're moving some tunnels around it down our place. And you dig a hole and it just fills with water.
With
water. And I was like, what is going on? The water level is just below the surface. It's
you know
crazy.
What's fascinating about fish hook is I've noticed that no matter where I work, you'll dig a sand layer on the top, but then you generally hit clay. We are quite a clayey area, actually, when we get quite deep, Jeremy. And I did a job in Nordic about 6 months ago, before winter, actually. And even then, when we were high up in the mountain, we'd dig a big hole for a tree, but we would leave it for the day.
Yeah.
And we'd come back the next morning. Believe it or not, two or three of them were full of water. So it shows you how natural water does sit. And then obviously this rain has completely waterlogged our country. But again, 110% full dams, I think.
Yeah.
Only getting fuller, so sustained for next this season. So it's always a good thing. But remember, in 2018, we were in a bad drought. So I think we can be happy. So
yeah, no, definitely happy that we got the water now.
Yeah.
We just need the sunny days for people to get into the garden.
100%. 100%.
It keeps coming. I keep looking at the forecast, and then like the weekend is when people like to get stuck in the garden. And then this Saturday we had rain, and the previous weekend we had rain, and now this one you said.
Oh, we're checking now. I think Saturday
some more rain. Like, what is going on?
Well, that's a bit away. Let's hope it passes. Now the high pressure will stop pushing the low pressure off the coastline, so we can be quite lucky. But as you said, drainage is always important, Jeremy. And I think some advice for people who are battling with areas is it's just you don't have to. Dig up a 200 square meter lawn and try to put drainage through the whole lawn. I think it's important that you work with your worst area. You know, what happens is water normally pools in an area and then sort of moves away into the other area. So I think when it comes to drainage, Jeremy, it's important just to maybe catch the worst of that area, take it away, and you'll find that you'll probably be okay. We did discuss how to install it. It gets encased in sand and geofabric, etc. So
yeah, and the stone layers.
It's very important. Always advice, we talk about the pots, always separate your stone and sand layers because they can clog each other up and do the opposite to what you're trying.
Yes.
So those are some good advice, Jimmy.
Yeah. And we talked about we've talked about before, like lifting your pots, make sure they're not on the deck.
100%, 100%.
Because sometimes you're going to get that problem where the water doesn't drain out.
Yeah.
Because there's like a sludgy layer that's built up.
Definitely.
So just having it on feet or whatever is going to help that.
And I think that also goes to, again, fills in with drainage. I think the last two seasons have definitely taught me, as I've moved forward now and I do pots for clients that are outdoors, I think I'm putting in a lot thicker drainage layer nowadays because especially bougainvilleas, that we've had some really bad plants, losing plants along the way over the last two winters. Last season I had lost a few bougainvilleas in a pot that I just planted for some clients. And I think what happens is if they're exposed to the north rain with all this rain we're having, generally, if you don't put in that extra layer of drainage, I think they just get quite wet on their feet.
Yeah.
And obviously irrigation has been something that we've just turned off for the last 2 months. So they haven't needed to water, and I still don't think you need to turn them on just yet. I think the grounds are so wet.
Everything is so wet.
So cool. You know, the water's not evaporating quickly yet. So some advice there, I suppose, in irrigation systems is I always try and encourage my clients to leave it running. Even if it's a minute, though, just purely to keep the nozzles and the heads clean. Because even in winter, although it's not warm, a black irrigation pipe still absorbs heat.
Okay.
And if there's a slight bit of sun in winter, they can absorb. And then what happens is all the insects actually try and find the heat.
Yes.
So they crawl into the nozzles and into the piping. And you don't really know that until you get into spring and summer and somebody says, oh, come check my system. And then you find it blocked and you will unscrew the nozzle and, you know, pops off in there. You have some insects and a bit of sand or whatever. So
yes,
but I'm always trying to encourage my clients to leave it on just to clear the nozzles. But I guess when you have
like a once a week,
just a flush, station, 2 minutes,
yeah,
just to let the nozzles come up, turn and turn off. You know, it just keeps everything clean, keeps the filters from clogging up as well. So
it's a good idea.
Yeah, good advice. I think. I hope.
Yeah, I actually have ordered some. I think I might have mentioned this, but those grass blocks. I think I did talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah, those are coming on Thursday. I'm quite excited about that.
No, they're very good blocks. I mean, I enjoy them. I put them up for parking, and you can plant grass in them, as we know.
Yes.
I think it's an amazing product, and it really, really works well, Jeremy.
Yeah, because sometimes you've got a parking area, and because it's like a solid thing, you get that water pooling or puddling or, you know, just a problem with that. So I'm really looking forward to these grass blocks.
I've got a few left over from a job, and I find that they're multi-usable. You don't just have to use them for parking.
Uh-huh.
I've sort of slanted. I told you this. I think I sloped some of mine up at a 45-degree angle along a bank for a client, and it just sort of held the bank.
Yes.
And as you've just pointed out, you actually can plant into them. So plants into them. And
like a mini retainer.
Yeah, a mini retainer, exactly that. And it helps, obviously, the water will channel its way down there and then also run away where you channel it to. So,
yeah.
But I think, you know, as we always say, Sue, in this job, it's preparation is the key to any success. You know, getting a professional in or coming to the Harry Gumman's Nursery and chatting to the professionals there and getting some good advice on what you're doing. I just learned not to fight nature, Jeremy. You're not going to beat nature, man. So if your tree's not allowing your grass to grow because it's too shady, rather make it better on the tree and plant stuff for roots. You know, and put the grass in the sun. I'm pretty heavy on my garden. I do a cutback every year just before winter, and I really go heavy on my trees to get more sun in.
Yes.
It does definitely help sustain the area.
Everything slows down. So 100%. That grass, if it gets too much shade, and especially with all the water, it's going to go backwards.
100%.
And if you've got dogs or, you know, they're running up and down, and then the grass just has no chance.
100%. But I've also been talking to your amazing Doug. He's been so good to me this year. He's been giving me a lot of feedback and advice on lawns. And I must say, I've been doing this for 20-something years, and this year has been a bit of an eye-opener on lawns for me, Jeremy, because he's really been helping me out and understanding that, you know, as much as we think everything goes dead dormant, it actually is not dead dormant. If you look at your lawn and with all the water we got, you'll notice that your grass is actually growing.
Mm.
It's just growing slowly.
Yeah.
And his advice has been impeccably brilliant. So I've been feeding clients, believe it or not, with 232, purely just trying to get some root feed, some phosphates, just so the roots are strong.
Yes.
Remember, as we go out of winter, you want to start setting up your sprays to spray. Learning this year, next year I'm going to be pretty heavy on my clients and try and do all the pre-emergent sprays.
Yes.
And about May is the right time to spray when you're trying to kill off the germination seeds. And another thing that I learned from Doug this year is rather than trying to spot spray your weeds in a lawn, always better just to do a full coverage spray because even though you think there's weeds there, it's evident that there'll be seeds everywhere else germinating slowly, and you'll spray that area, and then your client says to you, but why have I got weed there? You know, and you, well, I've only been spot spraying, so it's good to do a full spray.
Yes.
And you'll find that you can get all your winter grass sorted and any weeds that will grow up. But again, it's a case of making sure your grass is healthy for that just in May. And that just takes some organic and a balance between the chemical and the organic side. And then, as I was saying, with Doug was teaching me that I like a high nitrogen feed, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. But a high nitrogen feed, I think we're veering off a little bit of the hard landscaping, but it all falls part of landscaping. But the hard nitrogen feed, if you want a lack of green grass for Christmas, that it's always good to feed like a turbo grass or a high 411. The problem with that, and I learned that this year, was that when you overfeed your grass with a high nitrogen feed, what happens in winter, you might think it's dead, but it actually just has been forced to grow so fast during the summer period and the autumn that it actually just goes more more dormant than normal grass that's organically based and that you've kept the roots healthy.
Yeah.
And it's just a process. So I've been learning wonderful things, and it's actually pretty exciting. And I think that's why I love what I do, because you just learn every single day if you put your head down and focus, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you've done any like fire pit installations. Do people ask you for that?
Personal, my own house. nothing that I've actually done myself, because funny enough, you stock a beautiful, I got one from you the other day. It was a low one that you have the basin. So okay. You're looking for a fire pit per se. And again, unless you are adamant that that's the area you want it, because you know what happens? Sometimes people put it in for the sake and then they realize it's in the wrong area.
Yeah, yeah.
So buying a movable one at first glance is always a good one if you're into your fires and that, which we all are obviously as South Africans. and then when I think you have found the permanent space, remember, it's always easy. You can take the one that you purchased from me and just sink it into the ground.
Yeah,
make sure it's slightly above ground level. Make sure you use clay fire bricks around it so they don't break or crack under the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bob's your uncle, you know. So, yeah. But we were talking about hard landscaping. If I can give anyone advice, if you've got a pool, please pay for around your pool. I've just taken on two clients, and they literally have the pool coping, which is about 30 centimeters going around the pool, Jeremy. But then the rest is grass right up to that. So when we finish mowing,
it's all in the pool.
Oh, man, it takes us about 30 minutes just to clean the pool. So, you know, it's all these little bits of advice that you can give people down the line. And it's just, I think if they put a bit of hard landscaping, because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And extended that by about a meter to maybe even a meter and a half around the pool. There's a few things that does, you know, it gives a warm area for kids or adults to lay on when you're swimming. It helps with the maintenance of the pool. It stops a lot going in the pool. And obviously keeps your pool filters and pumps from getting clogged up too much. Yes. And that. So,
during winter, they're keeping their pools open. So there's no cover or
no cover or anything. I mean, it's a client who lives overseas, so he doesn't really see it much. But again, it's just like I cut it and I think to myself, you know, my entire maintenance service job is based on timeframes.
Yes.
That's what we work on. So when it takes 20 minutes to clean a pool, you know, unfortunately, that time falls under what we're charging for. But you think to yourself, oh, if we just had paving here, we could probably do so much more
in the garden.
So,
you need to have like a 2 hour instead of a 1 hour.
Yeah, just for that. But that's where hard landscaping comes in. And, you know, again, if you're battling with a area under trees and that, you can do some sort of checkerboard paving if you want and plant some sort of shade-loving plants in it. So, you know, the thing about this trade is there is a billion and one things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just about sitting with somebody who's got a vision and professional and can actually sort of chat to you about it and probably give you the right option, because it's not about tomorrow. It's about 5 years, a year, five, 10, you know, what you're looking for from the area. Again, it comes down to what trees you plant. If you want shade in a winter, then you keep a evergreen tree. If you want sun in winter in that area, because you know the grass are better, then you plant a deciduous tree that shades in summer, so you got a bit of shade. But yeah, so all those wonderful things come into being. So I think we could chat about that sometime as well.
Yes, and like gazebos and pergolas and that sort of stuff. Is that people request that? Do you do that yourself? Or
I've booked two in my time. I bought my own personal one and then realized that the wood was very skew. But it's got my own flair on it, so luckily it wasn't for a client. Woodworkers, I think, you know, what happens is sometimes you try and do, when work is a bit tight, you try and do a bit too much sometimes. So I've learned very much what I can and can't do, and I like to sort of stick to my strong points.
Yes.
But
do you know of someone that, if someone is desperate for a pergola?
That's the thing about this lovely valley. Everybody knows. You know,
you're going to find someone. Because that's another thing that can really make a garden is having some wooden elements, just an extra... just a different texture.
So I when I built my one and the one for the clients, because I'm not a woodwork per se, I use very square, so square beams, struts, you know, sheeting goes on. I went to a client up the road in Cosman Road, just in Fishick, and I'll give him a shout on radio. I think his name is David Orlando. He runs a wood company. Yo, he did pergola work, but you know where they round the beams off and have these shapes? It just changes the whole. It looks stunning. I mean, it was beyond stunning. So it can make a difference, you know. And,
definitely.
And obviously painting it properly and sealing it. I think we've learned this last 2 years that as much as we have this, we actually have the complete two elements. We have this dry, arid, hot 36 degree summers.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to experience these deep, wet, cold winters. And the problem with that is if you're not sealing your wood, then the wood gets all the water in it. I'm having a bit of a problem with my garage door. Above my garage door, the beams, they're rotting badly.
Mm.
So, you know, I think it's important that people take notes. We have a wonderful guy that is part of the radio session called Mark from Paintsmiths.
Yes.
He is hugely knowledgeable. In fact, he's my go-to guy when I need any info on what products to use for wood, for painting and that. So there's a one-stop shop there that you can get wonderful advice. Because I'm going to need to start sending my own personal chairs and that for summer and my wood ones. I've got these beautiful fold-out chairs, but they're all starting to get like greeny and it's hectic. It's been hectic, you know. So it's very important to do
the maintenance
things.
Of all the wood. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine all these, you know, things, but then all of a sudden you've got to think about the maintenance on the other side.
Yeah, and look, everything takes time, you know, Jimmy. And I always say to clients, I try and balance my work. So if a client needs something small done the weekend, I'm always available to offer one of my staff members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys like to make a bit of extra bucks and that. So when you, if Sue needed some help on Saturday, but I felt that for me and my business to arrive, it's a bit expensive or it's not really worth her while, then it's easier just to give her a guy that's got knowledgeable. And I just think if we can find guys that have got a little bit of crack and a good work ethic, you know, that's the right way to go. It saves a bit of money for clients. Get them to sand down all the stuff and, you know, buy them the product and do it.
Yes.
There are certain things that you can't do, you know, like big tree felling and all that. And building the pergola, I would imagine, the guy's not easy. So, you know, but we got everyone in the valley. I think that's something that I love about this side of the world. There's definitely a good guy for every aspect of whatever work you need. And something about Zone Radio I love is that they do that. They put everybody in contact with everybody, you know.
Definitely.
We had a yard lady asking for Rapitex number now. So it shows, you know, and obviously everyone goes to you for nursery, and it's just, I think it's great. And that's what I love about living in this other world. I think it's a wonderful support structure out the side, I must say.
I totally agree. Mm. And it's nice to keep things local.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Great networking.
Yeah, great networking. But as we say, let's hope the rain has passed. So, yeah, you're starting to sell wonderful color annuals in that now, Jeremy?
Yeah, the color is coming through. We've got some really nice osteospermums coming through with the flowers all bursting. You know, it's almost flower time up the West Coast, I think, 100%, as well.
100%. So I mentioned that, Jeremy, because if you've got a hard area, being a hard landscape area, like decking and that, I mean, you can always soften these areas with pots and a bit of color. And again, I always say, even down to the pot, it makes a difference what pot you choose for a deck. You know, so when you hard landscape an area, you kind of want to. I seem to always find if I go to a home and it's very modern and square, I like to use a modern color pot like gray, but I like to have a round one.
Okay.
It goes in the corner, and then the round shape just sort of breaks all the squareness. So you got to have a vision for it and choose the right hard landscaping products like your pots. You know, I love to use your sleepers that you sell, Jeremy, and that stuff like that. So, you know, pathways through. I think it's wonderful for that hard landscaping. And remember, again, when you've got a nice garden and you can sort of tease people to come around into areas, that's where hard landscaping come into it, like putting up a trellis, for example.
Yes.
That you can put a creeper up that with a little archway and you can sort of screen that area and then encourage people to come around.
So yeah, some stepping stones 100%. going off into around the corner.
Yeah.
If you see stepping stones, it means maybe I should take this trip around the corner and see what's behind this.
Trellis, I love it. And a lot of people, I see there's a few houses that I've driven past in my time, and you know, stone is a wonderful product as well. It's very hard, but you know, I've seen if you use it correctly and you use like your gray stone for, let's say, on the verge, there's not a client of mine, a house that I've always seen in Plumstead area, and they use gray stone, but then what they did is they used cobbles and built these triangle patterns and then put white stone in it.
Okay.
And then like a pot in the middle. And it just really looks amazing, Jeremy.
Yeah.
No maintenance, you know, aloes in the pots, mulch on the pots, or even stone in the pots to keep the weeds down. And I think there's definitely a place for stone chip pavers and anything that creates a hard landscaped area. I think it's very vital to getting the balance right in a home. And I think if I give anyone advice, when you live in a home, if you've just got a home, it's always important to live for a season, I think.
Mm.
You know, you got to, if you're really into your garden, know your sun path, know what's where it's too dark in winter and where it actually gets a bit of dappled shade. Because it's very often you'll have a house that has direct sun in summer, and then just because there's a north-facing wall, as the sun moves down a little bit, then that same area is in complete shade. So it's quite amazing how that happens quite frequently, especially in these, unfortunately, actually, I don't want to talk about it, if anyone lives in Silvertree Estate, but I just find that a place so overwhelmingly close to each other. So it's like double to triple story homes.
Yes.
But my one client's bound, like sort of house wall is 2 meters away from his boundary wall, which is another meter away from the next house, which is also two stories.
Yeah.
So they end up literally looking at each other. But the problem with that is that there's so much shade, because there's just nowhere for the sun to get into. Gaps, you know, so it's very important when you look at areas like that. And something I've been trying to do, but nobody seems to be biting. I've been trying to use mirrors to bring sun into an area. So like if you position mirrors, obviously you don't want to hurt your eyes, but like if you've got a bit of sun there and you angle the mirror, I mean, it's very much like a telescope.
Mm.
You know, a telescope is just mirrors that reflect, and you see out.
Yeah.
So if you can channel the sun in that way, you can actually bring a little bit of light into the garden. And that's again where I like white stone chip instead of a gray stone. White stone just pops a dark area, and you put it in neatly, properly, obviously, on fabric, whatever, and then you just walk into that area and everything feels more vibrant and more alive. And there's just all these little tricks and techniques we can do.
The mirror story is very good. I know that people do use them as features in gardens anyway, because it
makes the garden feel bigger.
Just a normal, rooms, when you put a big mirror in or something, it'll just reflecting off the sides.
No, 100%. And I know it seems silly, but if you get it right, you can bring in sun into a lovely area, you know. I mean, there's nothing better when it's cold outside and you actually sit in your car, for example, and the sun's shining, it feels so warm in your car. It's the same concept, isn't it, Jamie? It just brings in the heat, I suppose. Yeah. So that's something you're looking at.
I was at a garden on the weekend, and they terraced in Capri. And it's new owners, but the previous owner did a very, very nice job.
Nice.
They spent, you know, a lot of time thinking about the garden because it's on a slope. 100%. And they did some really big,
rocky and hard up there as well.
Yeah, so they did some large gabion. So it's got three terraces with big gabion. I think we talked about these.
I haven't used any yet, but I'd love to.
With the stone inside. And it just makes such a, because it could have just been a slope down to whatever. But because of now with the gabions, they've created these three terraces or levels, and now you've got, you know, fruit trees on the one or whatever, amazing, shrubs on the other one, and, you know, bird attracting ones. And that was the one thing that the owner of the house said to me. He's he's never been a bird person, but because of this garden that they've now purchased, or this house they've purchased with the setup that someone took some time, you know, sitting there on the balcony
Then
looking at all the birds that are going crazy in the garden is
very cool. But that's just an example of how hard landscaping can probably add value to a home as well.
Definitely.
If it's done correctly.
Yeah.
Remember, once you've hard landscaped, it's very difficult to unlandscape that. So again, that's why preparation and the understanding of what you want. Remember, I can plant a plant and watch it for a year, and if it doesn't do well, I'll remove it and transplant it and put another plant. That's quite straightforward. But if I've concreted poles in and trellised and laid, you know, 2,000 rand worth of paving, it's a lot difficult to change that area. So that's why you've got to be sure that it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Again, chat to professionals like yourself and me, hopefully, and get the right advice and you can move on. But I think we need to leave it at that, too.
Yes.
I think that's our hard landscaping done, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yes.
But it all intertwines. I mean, we kind of went up to plants. And that's what I love about this trade. Everything leads to the next thing, doesn't it?
That's true.
Well, you did cover. You covered.
Yeah, quite a lot.
A lot today. Yes, you did.
I feel like we just sat here and spoke to each other. It's pretty cool, Jeremy. Like we had coffee the other day at Harry Goodman's.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
But what you're putting out is what our listeners would like to hear. So that's perfect. Important. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I mean, I learn every Monday.
You learned something.
You said you didn't learn 2 weeks ago from Jeremy. You told me. No, just teasing. I wasn't here that day, by the way.
No, you weren't. And then Jeremy tries to put me on the spot, and I'm thinking, oh, please don't.
To me as well, so don't worry. But I can't believe that in 2 weeks' time we're going to be talking about what to do for the month of September. You know,
and it's crazy.
I think you must join us for that one, Jeremy, because remember, September is a good month because it's spring.
I think
it's time where everybody wants to start coming to Jeremy's nursery.
Yes, that's what we talked about. We said, is it going to be a false start spring or is it not?
That's what I said. And I mean, let's pray for, you know, the rain. We need the rain. We understand we need this rain. Yes, but enough's enough now. So let's hope in September we can talk about our, you know,
getting stuck in the garden.
How will our garden grow when the rain stops?
What sun cream to use? Not yet. Lekker. Thank you, Mr. Ben. I'll see you.
Thank you, guys,
coming in. Have a lekker day. Just be safe out there.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.